Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so I was going to call and sing happy.
I know, right?
Science and technology.
Welcome to the Barroom. I'm Bill here with my co-host, Susie.
Hi, everybody.
And shit, do we have some technical problems this time. We had all kinds of problems this time, but here we are.
I'm
back
excited.
For another round of exciting April Fools.
Yep, where we can discuss
fools.
Fools.
We're going to talk about some fools today. So, we've been off for a little while. I've been on travel for work.
You just came back yesterday.
Right, yeah. Got back yesterday late afternoon. Drove like 4 hours in the rain.
Poor guy.
I was exhausted by the time I got home, too. I was just it's so tiring, you know, when it's like pouring rain and you're driving and you're
Hopefully you were
for every little bit of it.
Listening to a good book or something.
And it was like 3.5 hours. It's normally like just over 2 hours for the drive.
Right.
And it took me 3.5 because of the
rain,
the weather and traffic.
That's too bad.
So it was kind of rough, but we're back and I went to Nashville and I went to Frederick, Maryland, and you went down to Virginia.
Yep, Leesburg.
Leesburg.
Yep.
So
it was nice.
I got me some food poisoning in Nashville. That was awesome. Nashville has the best fucking food poisoning of anybody.
The best fucking
they have
food poisoning.
Such awesome food poisoning. I mean, if you want good food poisoning, you got to go to Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, I might have to look that up.
You
got to
just go there. You just got to go.
I will.
It's exciting. Anyway.
So this is a call-in show. If anyone's out there and wants to call in, the number is 713-955-0575. Please call.
Yeah. It's often better to call us before we get into too much shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we get crazy with the stuff. But there's a lot going on. Apparently they're investigating Trump, but they're not, and then they are, and then I don't know. I'm having trouble keeping track. You've been keeping track of this better than me.
I you know what? I've been watching in silence at the gym.
Right.
I watch the ticker tape while I'm at the gym.
You know, sometimes it's better without sound.
And it's
know.
Definitely informative.
It's like watching the L Word.
And the fun thing is I got CNN, CBS, and Fox, like all in a row. And, you know, they'd be talking about the same thing, and you see the ticker tape's got a different spin on from whoever's doing it.
It's hilarious.
You know?
So, short version, people in D.C. can't get their shit together anymore.
No doubt. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, and most recently, Michael Flynn has said he will testify if given immunity.
Right? So what did he do?
What did he do? I have to wonder, what did he do that he thinks he might be prosecuted for?
Right.
Because apparently there's something. And because, you know, the reason they have to give him immunity if they're going to get him to testify is because he could just sit up there and just take the fifth again and again, say nothing. They can make him sit there,
right?
But they can't make him talk.
Right.
But apparently he feels like whatever he might say might be incriminating. That's pretty weird.
I
know. And Ivanka Trump is now going to be officially a government employee.
Okay, now listen to this. This kind of pissed me off because I heard that the other day. How can they hire her? There's a hiring freeze.
Oh, but not for everybody. It's not a 100%. Remember, there are certain necessary areas that are exempt.
How is
the White House?
Yeah. How is that exempt? I don't understand.
You don't think the White House is critical?
I don't think being Donald Trump's ass-kissing daughter is a critical position.
Yeah, well, apparently it is.
I guess. I was really mad, though. Yep, she's going to be a real federal employee. They're going to make her a GS-2.
Zero pay,
GS-2. No, I don't know.
No, she's going to be unpaid. Because she can't be paid. They can't pay her. They can't pay Kushner.
Really?
No, because It's a nepotism thing.
Oh.
There's a nepotism rule.
There's a rule, actually?
Yeah, it started during the Kennedy administration when he appointed his brother as Attorney General.
Ah, so, well, that's good.
Yeah, so there is a nepotism rule in effect. Don't know what we're going to do here. All right, let's talk a little ReasonCon before we get into our stuff. What
yes,
do you think?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk ReasonCon. Woohoo! I'm excited.
You know? Me too.
I'm like, no, you don't understand. Ashley
don't
and I have been counting the days. I texted her yesterday and I said, yeah, yesterday. I said, you know what today is? Or what tomorrow is? And she said,
ReasonCon starts.
I said, April Fools!
3 weeks from yesterday. 3 weeks from yesterday, ReasonCon will start.
19 days till I see my Ashley.
Yes, dear.
Okay, kind of. We got driving time.
Or maybe 19 from yesterday, yeah, but or from tomorrow. But either way.
You know, I'm just excited. I can't help it.
Yep.
And I've had so many people like on the Facebook page telling us, you know, they can't wait to see us at ReasonCon.
Right, because
I can't wait to meet all these
ReasonCon
people.
ReasonCon is at 3 days, and then the day before those 3 days is 420. I don't know if you know that. It's 420.
And that matters how?
It matters to some people. There are listeners out there that it matters to, that it's 420.
Right. Okay, well.
It's an important day for them.
All you happy 420 people, that's the day before ReasonCon.
Just saying.
But I'm excited to meet all of our listeners. I want every one of the people that have said, hey, you know, we'll come up and say hi, to actually come up and say hi, and we'll have a beer, you know, talk some bullshit. It'll be wonderful. I'm so excited.
I'm glad you are.
Do you think we'll play Cards Against Humanity again and I could be like the world's worst person again?
Perhaps. Perhaps you could. I don't know. You were so late you didn't even know what you were doing. You were just throwing out random cards.
I know, but I got an award.
Yeah, you got an award.
Because I'm the second worst human being on the planet or something like that. Because I only won second.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, you were lucky to get that, actually.
No, I wasn't. I was talented.
You were not. You were just throwing out random cards. You didn't even know what you were doing.
I knew that I was being funny.
No, honey, you didn't. I'm sorry. Facts matter.
To some people.
So, shall we away?
We shall away. What do you got for clips in there?
Very little. I'm being honest with you. I don't have a lot that's audio, but I do have enough to get us started. And there's always that hesitation on the first one I put up. You know who that is?
That's my favorite Crypt Keeper, Pat Robertson.
All right. Now, listen to this. Listen to this one. You're going to love this shit. We got Pat's taking a call.
And welcome back to the 700 Club. It's time to bring it on with your email questions. We're going to start with Tiffany. She writes, first, I just want to say, I love you. Well, we love you too. I've been extremely ill for almost 7 years. I pray. I read the Bible. I've asked for healing and have been prayed over many times. What hurts the most is I feel abandoned by God when I have loved him so much. I have MS. I am chemically and environmentally sensitive, which means I am allergic to many everyday things. There are only a few foods that I can eat. I feel forsaken. I've been watching your show for a long time now, waiting for my name to be called when you have a word of knowledge. And I'm so happy for those who say they are healed, but is healing not for everyone?
You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he healed everybody who came to him. There was not one person who came to Jesus who he turned back. He gave them some tests sometimes. He made them struggle sometimes.
He gave them a test.
He tested them when they wanted healing.
He gave them a test. He's like, all right. Here, answer these 50 questions, multiple choice, and give it back to me, and then we'll see about healing you. Do you mean like medical tests? You know, like I don't know if that's really leprosy. We got to run some tests back at the lab. Peter, Paul, grab this guy and take some samples. And they're like, no, I'm not touching him. He's a fucking leper. I don't know. What kind of test are we doing? What is he talking? Like, Jesus is a CSI here. You had to figure out where the leprosy came from. He whips out his glasses. He's like fucking Horatio Caine on there. He's like, and you'll see what peeling means.
Times, but every single one was healed that he came to Jesus. Now listen, I have dealt with MS. I have seen MS miraculously healed. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds strange, but I do believe that there's a spiritual component in MS that's like a demonic. And it's one of those things that you literally have to cast out. But I have seen people with it.
How much would it suck to have that job? Like, you know, there's a demon of lust, a demon of murder. Oh, what department are you in charge of?
Well, I'm the demon of MS.
MS. Oh, well, you kind of kill people. Yeah, takes about 30 years
per person. I just fuck them up a little.
I just sit there and fuck with their nervous system. The demon,
wow.
The MS demon. I mean, he'd be so lame. He's like lazy. He's like, yeah, okay, let's fuck him up a little today. Okay, I'm done. See you tomorrow. I mean, what the hell is that?
That's crazy.
And like, he's like, you know where Pat's going with this, don't you?
Nope.
This fucking lady is writing in. Literally, she has MS, which means she's probably going to die from this
disease,
okay? And she has allergens that she was talking about. I'm assuming everything she says is true. And she can't eat much food, so she's not happy. She's having a shitty fucking life. And what Pat is getting at is it's really her fault.
Well, let's let him
get really there. It's really her fucking fault. He's already getting there, but let's let him finish.
Yeah.
MS, get up out of a wheelchair and push the wheelchair out of the room where we were.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it. I've been involved in it, but it is a horrible thing. It's a wasting disease. It just eats all the energy and the fiber and everything.
It eats the fiber?
It eats the fiber.
It eats fiber. So MS is a demon with a really clean colon.
Yes.
What the fuck eats the fiber?
I would recommend, among other things, that you check with an endocrinologist to see if there's something, some chemical or something that could be done that would build up that immune system that you've got, or something that you're eating that's causing the problem.
Why?
You need, in the name of Jesus, to rebuke that thing and to say to your body, you will be whole.
Seriously. Dude. The woman has MS. She has all these issues. You don't think she's seeing a fucking doctor?
And wait, why would he want her to see an endocrinologist when it's a demonic disease?
And if Jesus can
last
just
time I checked,
fix it.
Endocrinologists weren't into demonic disease. Well, see, the problem is, as you've heard from her, she's been sick for 7 years. She prays all the time. She gets people lay hands on her and everything. It's just not working. Well, maybe, dumbass, it's because you think praying and laying hands works.
But, I mean, obviously, if she's got these diagnoses, she's been to a doctor.
Right.
Right? So, and he starts off with, well, everybody who asks Jesus gets healed. And when he was here, he healed everybody. He was healing motherfuckers left and right and center. And, you know, sometimes even if he didn't like them, he'd test them. He'd give them a IQ test. And then he'd heal them. And so it's like her fucking fault because Jesus won't heal her. Or she hasn't done what's required to get Jesus to heal her, right? So obviously that's the thing. And then go see an endocrinologist. Dude, you don't get to pull the science out the back end for one thing. And
because that's after he said that it was demonic.
Right, yeah, because
if it's demonic, what the fuck's an endocrinologist going to do?
I don't know. Do they study
demons?
Do they
study exorcisms?
Is there like demon hunting endocrinologist out there that
that's,
we don't know about?
That's funny.
Would that make a great novel series or something? Demon hunting endocrinologists. I mean, what the fuck is he talking about?
Is that
about?
All he's got?
Yeah, but that was it's just horrible to say to a sick person, well, you know, it's really your fault. You know, you have MS because you have the demon because you haven't rebuked the fucking demon.
Right.
You know, if really you could get healed from just rebuking shit and asking for it, Pat's face would not look like that.
You're so bad.
You know what he looks like? He looks like fucking Gollum, but had the air let out of him.
He looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, he looks a lot like the Crypt Keeper. And people wouldn't fucking look like that if all they had to do was ask.
No, they wouldn't.
Hey, fix my shit. No. No, not fixing your shit.
What else you got in there?
What do you got? What do you bring to the table there?
Well, we have a listener that sent us in a few different articles. And I'm trying to decide which of these is best. And, you know, I'm thinking if it's sticking with April Fools and being from Pennsylvania. Well, the Planned Parenthood guy looked good. But on this one, it's from The Intellectualist. That's the name of the website.
Okay.
And it says...
So it's from an unsure website. We don't know. We don't know the credibility. We're
right.
Just saying that. Okay,
right.
So go.
Just in case you want to double check. Okay?
Yeah, I would double check on this one. So.
Says GOP state senator says global warming is due to the earth moving closer to the sun and people emitting more body heat.
The earth moving closer to the sun?
Yes, it does. I'm just going to read.
Wait. The earth is moving
closer to the sun.
That is some straight up panic shit.
That's why
that
we
is
have
like
global
space
warming.
Fucking 1999.
And
that is some straight up Bruce Willis shit going on here.
You forget, and people are emitting more body heat. And people are emitting. Does that mean like your base temperature is not 98.6 anymore? Then it's going to go 99, 100.
No, I think it means more people. Like more heating elements.
Yeah, you think?
But if that were true, if my body heat could actually affect not only weather, but climate, how do people freeze to death?
All right, let me read this.
I'm just wondering how they manage that.
Says, over a dozen county commissioners from Pennsylvania's northern tier are working to organize.
Got an unknown call.
You should answer that.
No, I'm not going to answer that.
What if it's a listener?
Calling my personal cell. In the middle of the fucking show. Yeah, I'm sure that could be happening.
What if it's... No, never mind.
No, if somebody wanted to call me right now, they could call me at 713-955-0575.
Okay.
Ooh, see how I worked that in? It was
I
smooth.
Like that. Now, let me continue.
Yeah. Body heat.
Over a dozen county commissioners from Pennsylvania's northern tier are working to organize around an issue that directly impacts their constituents, natural gas drilling. Organizers said Harrisburg often neglects the interests of its more far-flung counties. They described their keynote speaker as someone who's gone against the trend. York County Republican Senator and gubernatorial hopeful Scott Wagner has supported natural gas drilling.
No, gubernatorial hopeful. This guy wants to be governor?
Yeah. Says Wagner doesn't believe in the conventional science behind global warming. On the topic of climate change, he said the following, quote, I haven't been in a science class in a long time.
Obviously.
But the Earth moves closer to the sun every year. You know, the rotation of the Earth, Wagner said. We're moving closer to the sun. He added, we have more people. You know, humans have warm bodies. So is heat coming off? Things are changing. But I think we are, as a society, doing the best we can.
Does he not understand rotation, what that word means?
It means we're getting closer.
No,
apparently.
No, no. No. If I look, Senator Wagner, if you stand in your front yard and you rotate, I don't care how fucking long you rotate from, you're still going to be in your front yard.
What if you're really drunk?
Rotating doesn't mean moving close to something.
It does if you're drunk.
No, it really doesn't. Even then, it doesn't mean that. Okay, for the Barber Blisters, the Earth isn't moving closer to the sun.
That's only what
it's not happening.
Pennsylvania State Senator thinks.
Yeah, you can tell that motherfucker has not been in a science class. Oh, we've got more people. Therefore, more body heat. Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. So you're right. Our 98.6 bodies are what's doing it. Not the engines we're running. Not all the machinery we run, which runs much hotter than bodies.
but it's the fact that our bodies are getting hotter and we're getting closer to the sun.
And then he doesn't understand how greenhouses work. He doesn't understand the greenhouse effect, apparently. Wow. Wow. And this guy wants to be governor.
Governor.
And he can.
Yeah.
And he might win.
He might win.
Because Trump's president of the United States. I just want to throw that in. And Trump thinks global warming is a hoax perpetuated by the Chinese. So, wow.
So, yeah.
Welcome to the new America, where stupid is king.
Where stupid is king.
No, really. I mean, you don't have to be. You just have to say shit that's popular. You don't have to be smart anymore to run things around here. We'll take the dumb popular person who says things people want to hear. Yeah, I guess so. I guess the earth is moving closer to the. I mean, come on. Talk about fake fucking news.
So,
I want to call this guy. I wish we had his number because I would call his office right now.
The other interesting, that was a good article for April Fools, but I just read the headline of this other one that we were sent, and it says, because it was about our favorite game, it says, Cards Against Humanity creator just pledged to buy and publish Congress's browser history.
That would be interesting.
If Congress votes to attack net neutrality, he would purchase their browser history and publish it.
That'd be awesome.
That's
I would love to look at Congress's browser history.
Right?
I mean, how much porn do you think gets watched on Capitol Hill?
Even though they say you can't, people have ways.
Yeah, sure you can. Why couldn't you?
No, you can't get in through the computers.
Says who?
Says the blocks that they have on it.
What blocks?
Dude, you can't even do things.
You've never been on those computers.
They're the same as.
No.
They're government computers.
No.
Yes.
No.
Have you ever been on those computers? Have you?
None of the rules that you're thinking of apply to them.
They have to have rules.
Nope.
I don't understand. A government that makes rules and passes out rules has to go by some.
You're only talking about the executive branch, which you've worked for and you've been on their computers. The legislative branch is a whole different branch of government and can do whatever the fuck it wants.
Wow.
They're not under the executive. They're not under the president. They can do whatever the fuck they want. So I doubt that their computers have many blocks on them at all. It's like, you know, now executive employees, if you happen to have and this is just an example. If, say, you have a frequent flyer, you're allowed to use that and accumulate points when you travel for official business.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you're traveling and you happen to have, you know, a thing, you can sign your little account in and get the miles.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, right?
Right.
However, it didn't used to be that way. It used to be you weren't allowed to do that.
Why?
No, it was illegal.
Why?
Because it was the government paying for the plane ticket, so you weren't allowed to get that benefit.
Oh.
But at some point, they decided and passed a law and said, okay, look, it's a benefit open to anybody who's traveling. These people are traveling anyway. I mean, it's not like you get to choose to travel or not to travel. Let them just put their little number in and get their miles. It's a nice thing that the airline's offering at no cost to everybody. But during the same time, in fact, it was Hillary Clinton that a lot of people were accusing her of doing it. And she was.
But you can.
But she was a senator, not a member of the executive branch. So that rule did not apply to her.
Ah.
Because as it turns out, all members of the executive branch were doing that. So there you go. And since we're doing a little civics lesson, you want to play my only other clip I have for today?
I would like to play your only other clip you have for today.
All right, this is a Christian evangelist dude called E.W. Jackson, and he's going to tell us, he's going to give us his version of civics, and we might have to refute him once or twice.
Folks, this is wild. I mean, it's just, you know what we need?
No, tell us, what do we need?
We need to bring prayer back into schools, and we need to bring the Bible back into schools.
The Bible.
And we need to start telling children, like we used to in school, who made you? God. And have them singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Who is this douchebag?
Well, yeah, like I said, this guy's name is E.W. Jackson, and he's right-wing watch I pulled this clip off of. But, okay, let's just analyze that. We need that? Who is we that needs that?
People who are crazy.
People who belong to a weak religion that can't support itself, that needs to be in school so that they can't teach their own kids their own religion. Is that what he's saying?
That's what he's saying.
Or is he saying, no, we need to push our religion on other kids from families who don't follow it. We want to make sure that the school is pushing our religion on everybody. Which is it? I mean, it's got to be one or the other. So I would really like him to come on the show and tell me which it is. Is it that your religion is so weak that you need the school to teach it to your children? You can't. Apparently, churches aren't good enough.
Right.
Or is it that you want to push it on other people's children who don't follow your religion?
That's what it is, I'm sure.
I'd like to hear one of these cowards say it one time.
You know, folks, I'm convinced that even a school doing this, it is not a violation of the First Amendment. Because what does the First Amendment say?
Well, you're convinced of that because you're fucking stupid.
Wait. I want to see if he knows
You want to hear why he's stupid? Okay.
The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law.
Right.
See, to me, if a local school engages in Bible study, Bible reading, or prayer, it is because of the culture of that local community says that's what we want. And culture is not Congress.
No, but a school
is a government entity.
A school is a public school is the government.
Now, let me just play semi-devil's advocate here.
Go ahead.
Because this guy obviously
Wait,
can I talk?
Okay, go ahead.
This guy is obviously a Bible literalist.
Yep.
And he thinks he takes the Bible literally.
Okay.
Therefore, when he reads the Constitution of the United States and it says Congress, he thinks Congress. He doesn't think.
Well, that's what it means.
Yes, but he's talking about just the place in Washington, D.C.
He's right.
Just those people.
He's right.
Well,
what he's reading.
Then that place is not in wherever he's from and doesn't have anything to do with his school.
He needs to get his ass out because he's a black guy. He needs to find out who owns him because apparently he hasn't read the other fucking amendments, you know, like the one that abolishes slavery.
That says Congress shall own no person.
That neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall be permissible in the United States. That one?
But no. That one, see, but that's different. That says in the United States.
Or
that's where he
but
is.
But they also passed the 14th Amendment at the same time they passed the 13th Amendment.
Which says.
All people of the United States are citizens of the United States and the states in which they reside.
Right.
And it says that their rights as citizens of the United States cannot be infringed upon by any state. Which means that whatever Congress do to me as a free citizen, the state can't do. My city can't do. My local township can't do. My school board cannot do. He is right. It does say Congress. It did only apply to Congress, but we passed a fucking amendment, and we passed the amendment 150 fucking years ago.
So it's a matter of interpretation.
No, it's not a matter of interpretation. That's what the amendment does. It's not an interpretation of the amendment. They did the amendment for that reason. They did it specifically for that reason. I mean, like, no slavery. Is that an interpretation? No, they passed an amendment because they didn't want to have slavery anymore.
No, but
they passed the 14th because they wanted to make sure that the rights in the Bill of Rights applied to everyone at every level of government, specifically to black people, specifically for them, because they were afraid that they would be the ones most abused. If Congress can't abridge the freedom of speech, well, maybe Alabama can, and we just forced Alabama at the point of a gun to free all its slaves.
Right.
Okay? So they thought, maybe we should make it clear, these rights, no state can touch them.
Now, if Congress says this, then the states can't say it, and counties can't say it.
If I have a right as a U.S. citizen, my right to free speech.
Right.
Okay? Originally, before the 14th Amendment, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania could pass speech laws about things you and I couldn't say. They couldn't be federal laws. Well, you'd have to check the PA Constitution. But they were allowed to do that. States could have speech laws.
It was kind of like you could have the rights of the gay rights could be violated in the states, depending on which state it was, up until the federal government passed the law that said they can't.
Yeah, kind of. It's like it wasn't consistent, and the Bill of Rights didn't apply to the states. It just didn't. It only applied to the federal government. It said what the federal government couldn't do. But when we did the 14th, amendment, we amended the Constitution again, and we said these are the rights of the people.
So he's just leaving out the amendment.
He is. Because he's ignorant. But it's an important amendment.
Yes. Did he say anything else?
And as a black guy, you would think he'd know it.
Did he say anything else? Play some more of it.
A lot more.
Play some more.
Does that make sense? Culture's not... The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law. How is it a law if a local sports team says that, okay, we're going to pray before the game? A public school sports team said, we're going to pray before the game. This is a dangerous game. We're playing football. We don't want anybody to be injured. We want God to take care of us all.
How is it a law, is what he's saying? Well, it's a law because the Constitution says that church and state need to be separate, and this is a public institution funded by public things. And most importantly, you are violating the rights of the players, the students.
I think his point is, I think his point might be that the players and the students all want to pray.
Do they all? Every one of them?
So why can't
every single one of them wants to pray, is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Every student that goes to that school wants to pray.
That's what he thinks.
That's wrong.
I know.
That is wrong. And here's why it's wrong. Because let's suppose that you have a Muslim student that goes to that school and would like to play football. Either that student will feel like they can't, because the prayers, obviously, I'm not welcome there. Or they'll feel like they have to shut up and just listen to the Christian prayers. Or they're going to have to make a big stink, and you'll hear what he says about the people who make a big stink. And it could be a Muslim student. It could be a non-believing student. It could be a Hindu student. It could be anybody. It could be a Catholic student. Because you know he's talking about Protestant prayers.
So while we're listening to this guy go off and getting Bill all riled up, please remember that if you want to talk to Bill, it's 713-955-0575, because I like it when he gets going.
I probably could use it. But yeah, see, so that's why he's trying to say, oh, well, everybody wants it, so what's the problem?
Right.
Well, it's not it, because that football team belongs as much to that Muslim student or that atheist student or that Hindu student or that fucking student that just doesn't want to hear your fucking prayer as it does to you.
Yep.
And it's not a majority rules situation, because you don't get to exclude people from public school activities because they're not in the majority. That's why.
All right. What else has he got to say?
And some idiot ACLU nutcase comes along and says, you can't do that. That's a violation of the First Amendment. That's a violation of separation of church and state.
Because it
is. Idiot ACLU nutcase.
Right. So again, let's say that there was a student that was Catholic and he didn't like the prayers at the football game, but he wants to play football. So he's got two choices. He can put up with it, or he can be an idiot ACLU nut job for asserting his very rights.
Wow.
That's why organizations like Freedom From Religion take such a hardline stance on this shit. Because it shouldn't be up to teenagers to defend their own fucking rights against their schools.
Yeah.
You know, it should be, hey, we have a public school, which is open to everybody. We have a public school sports team, which is open to everybody. Done. Done. It's for everybody. It's not for Christians. It's not for non-Christians. It's for everybody. Therefore, if you want to do your church thing, you got a tax-free plot of land and a building over there.
Mm-hmm.
Go fucking do it.
Yep.
Hey, you want to have a religious school? Go do it. But this is for everybody, and you don't get to do that. Anyway, that's that. Let me get him going again. I know this guy gets me going, right?
I mean, you got to have BBs for brains to really believe that. And ultimately, I don't know whether these folks believe it or not. I know what they do believe. I know what they do. They hate God. They hate God. They hate God. They hate any mention of God.
Yeah, I hate God because I don't think it's your right to push your religion on everybody and to take over public institutions and make them exclusively for members of your club. That's my hating God stance.
The problem is you can't hate something you don't believe in.
Yeah, well, yeah, but some of these people do believe in God. Remember, the list of people that I just came up with at the top of my head.
That's true.
Only one was the atheist.
Right.
I mean, does the Muslim student hate God? No.
Yeah, no.
No. He believes in God. He probably loves him some fucking Allah. I don't know. The point being, it shouldn't fucking matter when he tries out for football.
Notion of God. They hate Christianity. They hate observant Judaism. As long as a Jew is not observing anything, they're fine with that. You know, because... You know, they're people who claim to be Christians and people who claim to be Jews who support this mess. So they don't care if you know, as long as you don't believe anything, you just kind of associate with what you claim is your religion. They could care less about you. Yeah, that's good. Just don't actually believe it. Because what they want to do is completely sanitize the country of the presence, the acknowledgement, the respect for Almighty God and the church. And the synagogue, or anything that represents the God of the Bible.
Okay, that's the end of his clip.
It's funny, he's one of those gloom and doom people that it's all or nothing.
Yeah, you know, and I want to just respond to that last statement. No, we fucking don't. And if the best you have, sir, is a lie, if the best you can do is come up with a straw man lie to say what we want to do, that just shows the very weakness of your position. And you've shown the very weakness of your religion, that it can't survive without government assistance.
Yep, without
your religion is on fucking welfare. You know, and that's what kills me about the GOP and the right. You know, they're against those entitlement programs.
Yeah.
No welfare, no food stamps. Oh, of course, the churches can stay on welfare because they don't do shit. And we're going over that in counter-apologetic segment today, how churches really don't fucking do shit. Generally, but so, you know, again, this guy, he's got a straw man.
But
well,
I love him getting me riled.
I know I'm
up,
riled. I'm riled. I know there's like nobody in the chat room getting no calls. This sucks. But
it'll be good to post though.
Oh, it'll be fun to post. I'll post it tomorrow. But yeah, this guy, he has to lie about what we want to do. No, we don't. We just look in our common areas. In our fucking common areas. Jesus, why can't they get this, Susie?
I don't know.
I don't have
a problem with people praying in school.
If the country,
if they pray to themselves at their little desk or whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can pray all you want. I don't have to listen to you pray, and you don't have to force your praying on me.
Right. It doesn't have
You're
to be.
You're an individual.
It doesn't have to be gross and, like, overbearing crap.
Right.
Like, let's say... Everybody lives in a big, giant, common house, and we have common areas, right? Okay, you fuck all you want in your bedrooms.
Right.
And if you're in the living room, and you're with your person, and you want to hold hands, that's okay. A little holding hands, a little snuggling, that's fine. And don't fuck in the living room, please. And certainly don't tell me I have to fuck in the living room. Or I have to sit quietly by while you fuck in the living room. You see, it's common courtesy in common areas.
Yeah.
They don't get that. Even if 90% of the people in the house, this big house, giant house, are okay with fucking in the living room.
That's going to be like my new motto. I don't fuck in your living room. You don't pray in my school. Wow, I like that.
You know, so, but I mean, even if most of the people are okay with it, you still don't do it for the courtesy of the few that aren't.
Right.
It's that simple. It's just being fucking nice. And that's what they don't get. And that's what they are apparently unable to do. And, you know, no calls, no chats so far. So I think we should take a little break.
Really?
Yeah, why not? I mean, we're about 40 minutes in, 42 minutes in.
Oh, are we going to do the Bible?
We're going to let the Bible go, and then we can pee and do all that stuff. We'll be back in about...
That's a secret, though. You guys don't know that we go and pee and stuff.
They
okay?
do know. It's a camera. Well, they don't know what we're doing. Okay, they know we go.
Right.
All
right,
but anyway...
Here's the Bible that we did today.
Here's the Bible.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeremiah, chapters 20 and 22.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three. Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
Sorry, kid. I don't believe in fairy tales.
In chapter 21 of Jeremiah.
This book is so mean.
I know, this book is like, here we go again. But now this time, now it sounds like it's actually happening. You know, because you've been going, the hell is that?
That's your cell phone.
It was
dinging
over and over and over.
What he was going to do, right?
What he's going to do. And then finally, now we have... It's happening. The armies are at the gate.
I just want to point out before we start all the death and destruction planned in this chapter.
Yeah.
That if we didn't have this Bible to listen to go by, all these, because Pastor son of Malak.
Yeah, you wouldn't know how to pronounce any of these people.
This
yeah.
just, why do they have these crazy hard names?
Well,
can't they be Joe and Bob and.
They weren't talking English.
Bill and.
They weren't talking English.
Wow. All right. Well, it's just dumb. Okay.
Maybe those names sound normal in Hebrew.
All right. So let's continue.
Okay. So in verse 4, God says, I'm about to turn against you the weapons of war that are in your hands, which you're using to fight the king of battle. So like your own swords are going to jump out of your hands and kill you.
Right. And if that's not good enough.
Yeah, I know, right?
In verse 5, he says, I myself. Will fight against you with an outstretched hand and mighty arm in furious anger and in great wrath. Isn't this supposed to be a benevolent being?
Maybe, but like,
how can you even?
It's also supposed to be.
That?
It's also supposed to be an all-powerful being. So, like, doesn't the army and the weapons and everything become superfluous?
Right.
Superfluous. If there's an all-powerful being,
because
they're
just
all
go,
powerful.
He
yes.
can just go. Bzz, and
yeah.
Have dead people.
So, wouldn't
right?
he need the armies for it? And then in verse 6, he's going to strike down those who live in the city, both man and beast, and they'll die of a plague. Now there's a plague. So, like, there's a plague, a god, and an army.
Maybe he's bored, and he's just trying to think up different ways to kill people.
I guess so. And he says, if you stay in the city, you're going to die by the plague, or by the sword, or by famine.
Right.
Yeah.
Or by whatever else I decide that I'm going to do to you.
But if you surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, it's all good.
Right.
Yeah. So God's on Nebuchadnezzar's side now.
Yeah, at the very end of, I think it's verse 7. Yeah, it's verse 7. He says he'll show them no mercy or pity or compassion.
Right. So Nebuchadnezzar, you have a choice. You can stay in the city, die by plague, sword, or famine, or surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, who will put you to the sword.
Right.
That's a choice.
What a choice you got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like not even
God
cool.
hates people.
And I did like pointing out in verse 10, he says he's determined to do this to the city, harm and not good.
Not good.
Not good.
Very not good.
very not good.
And then we wrap up the chapter in verse 12 where he says, okay, house of David, This is what you're supposed to be doing. Administer justice every morning. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor, the one who's been robbed, or my wrath will break out and burn like fire. Dude, you just said you're about to kill everybody. When are they supposed to do this?
Now,
right? Like, once they're dead, they won't be administering
justice. They won't be able to do all
justice.
That. So, can you explain something to me, though? Because I was a little confused. Maybe I got lost. Because he says, I am against you, Jerusalem. Isn't he supposed to be a...
Rob, he's against them. They
he's supposed to like them. Though,
he doesn't
right?
anymore. He doesn't because they were bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh man, this is horrible. It's like, what if your favorite band was like this? If you've been listening to other bands, so we're gonna come to your house and kill you.
Wow.
You know, I mean, fuck you. Anyway, that was 21. Okay, first I want to comment that chapter 22 was really long.
It was pretty long.
Oh, anyway, so here we go. We're going to try to summarize this really long chapter for you. Starting, I guess, at verse 3, because at first it's just, this is what the Lord says, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, it takes to verse 3 to get to what he actually says.
Right.
Now he's telling him, do what's just and right. Again.
And he goes through this whole thing of.
But that was Jerusalem that he was talking about. He was going to crush earlier. This is Judah.
Yeah.
Two different places.
But he says like the same thing.
He doesn't like any of them. And, you know, he's kind of like Don Corleone, verse 5. But if you do not obey these commands, declares the Lord, I swear to myself, this place will become a ruin. He's like Don Corleone, right?
Yeah.
Making them an offer they can't refuse.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, I want you to freely follow me, or I kill you.
Or I kill you. You're funny.
Really? And then, you know, like Roland of Gilead.
That's what I was thinking. Verse 6. Okay. Not just does he say, though you are like Gilead to me, but then he says, I will surely make you like a wasteland.
Yeah, I know. It's like two gunslinger references. They're like
right.
Totally stealing from Stephen King here.
Totally stealing from Stephen King.
Yeah, I know.
The chicken and the egg, man. Chicken and the egg.
God. If this is truly God, then God already knew what was in the Stephen King book.
Right. So
because he knows everything.
It's definitely the
Therefore, he stole this from Stephen King.
Yep.
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 Absolutely. So, oh, yeah, I love this. Verse 8, people from many nations will pass by this city and will ask one another, why has the Lord done such a thing to this city? That's what they're going to ask each other? Oh, why did God do? I mean, is that what you think when you go by a wrecked building or... You know, like you're driving through the aftermath of a hurt. Why did God do this?
How did they must have pissed God off.
And the answer will be, like, who's answering? Is, like, God going right. to station somebody there to answer questions?
At the door, a little doorman?
Yeah, like in a little information booth outside the wrecked city where, okay, if you have questions, here's your answers.
And the answer is because they've forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and have worshipped and served other gods.
Yeah, jealousy's not a good thing. You know, I know that people like in these religions would like to say, oh, our God is a jealous God, and that's not a good thing.
And my problem is this doesn't say they've worshipped and served other false gods. This one says they've worshipped and
it
served
never says,
other
well,
gods.
Occasionally it will say false gods,
so,
but usually it says other gods, yeah.
They believe in other gods.
Well, apparently this God believes in other gods.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why do people today in society think there's only one God and they fight with each other over which one's the right one?
Yeah, well, because they just insist that whenever it says other gods, it means false gods, even though what it says is other gods.
Right.
Because the Bible doesn't really mean what it says. It means what you think it means.
Right.
That's what it means to everybody. It means exactly what the reader thinks it means. Anyway, let's get through this damn chapter. All right, now in verse 11, we get to Shalom, son of Josiah, who succeeded his father as the king of Judah and left. And he's not coming back.
Nope.
God said no.
He's going to die in the place where they have held him captive.
And
led him captive.
Then he bitches about Josiah's labor practices.
Because apparently cedar's bad.
And he didn't pay people for their labor. Which is kind of fucked up from a God that endorses slavery clearly in this book. Why would he pay people?
Right.
And then he bitches about his decorating choice.
Right.
He said, so he makes large windows with it, panels it with cedar, and decorates it in red. What a horrible thing to do.
Oh, my gosh. Verse 15, does it make you a king to have more and more cedar?
Well, I think you need to have wood. I don't know who has to be Caesar.
Does that make you a king, man?
Makes me a king. when I have wood.
It makes me a servant when you have wood, babe.
And then there's Jehoiakim, son of Josiah. Don't mourn for him.
No mourning.
No mourning for him because he's going to be buried like a donkey. No, I'm serious. I'm not making this shit up. It's in verse 19.
It says he will have the burial of a donkey.
Of a donkey. Like, who buries donkeys? Do they bury donkeys?
Well, I think that's what the point was, because the rest of that verse says dragged away and thrown outside the gate. And they just toss him.
He's going to chuck him.
Yeah.
He's going to huck him away. Like who fucking cares?
Like trash.
You're dead. I guarantee
they
you.
They care.
When you're fucking dead, you don't care.
They care.
That's the whole thing about dead. You know, you don't fucking care anymore.
If you believe that, yep. But the people who believe, if you do believe in like life after death and the fact that your body's going to go up,
well, what do you care about the meat suit then?
And why do you care where you're at?
Yeah, why do you care where the meat suit is?
Right.
You know, it's not yours anymore.
Right.
It's just done. It's like an old set of clothes. Like the clothes that I wore 5 years ago. I don't care where they are right now.
Right.
I mean, really, I don't care. Maybe they were buried properly. Maybe they were burned. Maybe somebody else is wearing them. I don't give a shit because I'm not. And then he goes through a bunch more threats. And the wind, verse 22, the wind will drive all your shepherds away. Like, shit, it's too windy. Get the sheep. Let's go. Come on.
That's funny. Jumping back to 21 really quick, I thought it was funny because he warned you when you felt secure, but you said, I'll not listen. This has been your way from your youth. You've not obeyed me. I'm thinking, like a teenager.
Well, like
just
all
like
teenagers.
A teenager.
Right?
Any teenager, right?
Yeah, like myself included. Like, I was like that, yeah.
Why are you surprised?
And then, of course, the final threat in this series of threats is in verse 23, you're going to groan like a woman in labor.
I had so much to say about that. It was just, first of all.
It's like the absolute worst punishment in the world is stretching a vagina.
Isn't this a man writing this, right, supposedly?
Yeah.
How does he know?
Well, because
he's heard the women scream
scary.
And try
it
to
looks really
try to grab his bottom lip and pull it over his head.
I guess, because I have no orifices that will stretch like that.
Right?
Yeah, so no.
You'd be amazed.
No.
You'd be amazed.
I am amazed. Well, I would be. And then Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, I love this, verse 24. If you were a ring on my hand, I would still pull you off.
I would deliver you into the hands of those who want to kill you.
At least God's giving him a reach around before he fucks him. He's got to pull him off. Okay, and then I didn't have much else except at the end. You know, record this man as if childless, because that's bad.
Because that's bad.
A man who will not prosper in his lifetime, or none of his offspring will prosper, and nobody's going to sit on the throne of David or rule anymore in Judah. Done. Finished. In. Then why do we have some more chapters in this book?
I have no idea.
Hope you enjoyed the Bible segment. That was actually a little bit of fun to do.
It was, but Jeremiah is so hard to get through.
It is. It's tough.
I just want to be done.
Me too. But we're in Jeremiah, so we're not even close to done yet.
I know.
So, yeah, things that occurred to me on the break.
First of all, if you want to call in and you're listening, 713-955-0575. We'd love to hear from
that.
You.
But we do understand that people aren't listening live because, you know, we were talking about how we have trouble keeping a regular schedule because I have a fucked up job.
There's also nobody in the chat room. So if you want to pop in there, there's nobody.
You look sad.
There's nobody on YouTube. So if you want to tune in there, I don't care.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to the nobody.
I mean, you said if you want to pop in somewhere, if you're not listening to us right now.
But
I mean,
you're not listening
but
to
you're
us,
not listening
so you
to
can't
us.
Pop in. Shut up being all logical and shit.
Logical and shit. ReasonCon. Coming up, we mentioned it earlier, worth mentioning again. If you follow at Barroom Atheist, we're going to tweet the room number, come by for drinks. That's how we officially open ReasonCon. This will be the third time we've done it. So it's nice. People just come in, they have a beer, bring a six-pack, whatever you got. Have a beer. Bring a soda if you're not into drinking. Have a soda. Socialize.
I met my best friend at ReasonCon, so it's worth going just to socialize with people. And you never know, you might run into your kismet best friend for life, like
I
did.
You might. It could happen. Well, a lot of things could happen at ReasonCon. A lot of things do happen at ReasonCon.
A lot of things do happen at ReasonCon.
Some of them should not have happened, but don't get involved in that.
You
just stay away from
stick with the fun stuff.
Figures don't lie, Susie, but liars sometimes figure.
Yeah?
I'm saying. I think we need to do a little counter-apologetic today, because we haven't done one in a while. So, here we go.
Because you have to know everything, or have revelation from somebody does, to know anything.
But it's the moment the skeptic, that free-thinking, agnostic, atheist, whatever, begins to challenge the God of the Bible.
Behold, the atheist's nightmare. Everybody believes in God. Some have decided to suppress that truth.
Hey, Bill, I just want to let you know that there actually is a book out there that actually tells us where matter came from.
I've got you.
You've got me. Who's got you?
Welcome to the bar room. I'm Bill here with my co-host Susie. When he does this, he's equivocating.
What we're talking about in a laboratory, there is no other side of the coin.
Right. You're trying to get to the truth.
Right.
Well, you know, fact fucking matters.
In some states, not in Oklahoma.
What they're doing is they're strawmanning natural selection. So back the fuck off before I shove a Nimbus 2000 up your ass and ride you all the way back to Azkaban.
Okay, the counter-apologetic. This time I saw an editorial from Eric Metaxas, an evangelical speaker and best-selling author, on thechristianpost.com. And it's not very long, so I think I'm going to go ahead and just read it real quick. Read it, give you his position, and then we'll go into it.
Okay.
Here's yet another reason why it's insane to push Christians out of the public square. In his new book, The Benedict Opinion, my friend Rob Dreiner makes a sobering and sadly accurate claim. Christians who hold the biblical teaching about sex and marriage have the same status in culture and increasingly in law as racists. Rod says that it's inevitable that believers in Christ will lose their jobs, some already have, and other forms of bullying if they don't go along. Many in our increasingly secular culture want to chase Christians out of the public square altogether. Among other things, that would be a disaster for 500,000 homeless people. According to a new study out of Baylor University, faith-based organizations provided 58% of emergency shelter beds for the homeless in 11 cities across the nation. In Omaha, faith-based organizations, or FBOs, provide a whopping 90% of the available emergency shelter beds. In Houston, it's 79%. In Indianapolis, 78%. In Baltimore, 74%. So where would all these homeless people go if Christians who do acts of compassion out of a faith perspective are no longer around?
Well, those are good numbers.
But it's not just the quantity of work that Christians do for the homeless day in and day out. It's also the quality of the work. Baylor researchers Byron Johnson and William Wubenhorst, didn't make that up, Wubenhorst, found that FBOs are at the forefront of an innovation in helping to transform homeless people and their families through a variety of education, healthcare, job training, and addiction recovery services. Many government programs see the primary cause of homelessness as a simple lack of affordable housing. Most FBOs, however, know the problem usually runs a lot deeper, and they do a better job at getting to know their clients and what they really need, leading to better outcomes for clients and their cities. Many of the homeless, for example, have no meaningful relationships. FBOs can begin giving them the relational capital they need. Almost done. Jim Reese, who is the president and CEO of Atlanta Mission, which serves 1,000 homeless people every day, told Christianity Today that instead of being a kitchen cook, you'd be out at the tables with the people. How do you change lives? It comes from creating a relationship with them and building trust. As Byron Johnson notes, in most cases, people become homeless due to a range of complex personal and societal factors, not just because they can't afford a home. Our conclusions demonstrate that faith-based organizations are in a unique position to treat systemic issues that create homelessness to develop a sustainable solutions for both individuals and municipalities. Indeed, I've seen the same dynamic at work at Pregnancy Care Mission run by my lovely wife right here in New York. Yes, relationships matter. So does faith. And this isn't just touchy-feely talk. The Baylor study estimates that FBOs create $9.42 in taxpayer savings for every dollar spent by the government. It also shows that the 11 cities in the study achieved around $119 million in tax savings during the first 3 years after the faith-based residential recovery and job readiness programs were implemented. So, faith is not the only good for the soul. It's good for the taxpayers and the bottom line. But according to Christianity Today, churches and other FBOs can face hurdles from local governments and communities as they try to provide hope for the homeless. Everything from ordinances restricting the distribution of food to attempts to regulate shelters out of existence. Given all that faith-based organizations do for the homeless and all the money they save, that's just crazy. So next time someone tells you society would be better off without Christian influence, do not believe it. Then go volunteer to help it at, or at least write a check to your local faith-based shelter organization that helps the homeless. Wow. Isn't that, this guy seems to be making a very convincing case
here. Right. He's making a very convincing case.
Are you convinced?
I'm convinced.
Are you really?
I am.
Because figures don't lie.
Right. You heard them all.
But liars figure. First of all, he starts out with sex and marriage, and then goes to homelessness.
Right.
In other words, you have to tolerate my bigoted ideas about homosexuality, or I won't help the homeless. What do those two things have to do with one another? When I was reading it, unless you're reading for it, you don't catch the leap there. Unless we're allowed to discriminate against gay people, basically is what he's saying,
mm-hmm.
The homeless will not get helped.
Right.
How? There's no bridge between those two things. None. And it's an absolute lie that Christians are bullied because of their views on sex and marriage. They're not.
I know.
Nobody's telling them to get fucking gay married. Nobody tells Christians, you must get gay married now. It never happens.
But they tell gay people they must be straight married.
They want to tell other people what to do. And it's bullying if we don't let them bully other people.
Right.
You know, it's the most ridiculous concept.
Always been backwards, yeah.
And they're being treated like racists. You know what? Yeah, you are. You're being treated like bigots because you're fucking bigots. Okay? Yeah, if you're being a bigot, you're going to be treated like a bigot. And you know what? Not racist, because racism is not illegal in this society. You could be a racist,
right?
But you can't act on it. There are certain things you can't do. You can't have a restaurant and say no black people. You can't do that.
Nope.
So, but you could be a racist. You could not have black people in your house. You could, you know, just be Archie fucking Bunker, right?
Yep.
At home. But when you're doing business in the public square, you have to do business with all the public.
It's like you were saying about earlier about
right
common areas.
Right, because when you do business, you're in the common area. And so, yeah, you can't refuse to serve gay couples. Sorry. That doesn't mean that we're doing anything to your views on sex and marriage.
Right. You can still have your views.
You can have your marriage.
But
you can have your sex.
I can have mine, too.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the first thing where this thing goes fucking off the rails, because that has nothing to do with helping the homeless.
Right.
None of that has anything to do with helping the homeless, unless you are running a shelter, getting government funds and saying no gay people can sleep here.
Right.
then you're a fucking bigot and you need to not be getting government money.
Right.
You know. Okay. Half a million homeless people. We kind of confirmed that for the show with our fact checking. It's probably around that, so we're going to accept that number. But Susie also did a little research for me, too, and apparently, roughly, and this is according to Christian Post, there are roughly 300,000 churches.
Mm-hmm.
So if every church took care of less than two homeless people,
mm-hmm.
there wouldn't be any homeless people. So what are Christians really doing for the homeless? I mean, I know some churches are small, might not be able to support a whole person, but some mega fucking churches could probably take 20,
yep.
30, and just provide for them.
Yeah.
So if Christians really cared and Christianity was such a force for good in the homeless,
there wouldn't be any fucking homeless.
Nobody would want for a place to sleep at all because there's 300 fucking thousand of them. And oh, by the way, it's really nice. 11 cities, he said. They provide 58% of the beds in 11 cities. Wow. Didn't we discover quite recently with the 2012 religious survey that 76% of the country is Christian?
Yeah.
And they're providing 58% of the beds.
So they're not doing everything that they can.
It's not even their percentage of the population. Wow, you're providing over half the beds. You're over three quarters of the population. Good for you. And then he goes and lists cities, which I thought was amazing and dumb on his part. Omaha, Houston, Indianapolis, Baltimore. It's just the top four. Wow, those are high percentages. Well, if the average is 58%, then the bottom cities in that list must be well below 58%. I mean, I have to be. If Omaha's 90, so the total average came out to 58%, then the bottom one's got to be bringing that average down. So, yeah, they're doing really good in a couple cities.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Still, not really conforming to your percentage of the population, nor even the number of religious houses that you have. I mean, if you just let them sleep in the fucking churches.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 300,000 of them. Just let homeless people sleep in your churches. You're done. It's over. They have a home. They have a place to sleep. Whoops. But no. They need the problem. See, they need the homeless problem so they can claim they're doing good shit.
Yep.
Okay, here's the other problem. He goes down to, what about the bottom line? What about what he said about the bottom line? $119 million in tax savings? From an organization that gets over $70 billion in government subsidies a year, they're saving us $119. That takes a lot of fucking gall.
Yep.
Okay. Say, yeah, I'm worth having because I saved you $120 million in these 11 cities.
Of course, I use 71.
I probably used 10 times that.
Billion, many. Yeah.
And $26 billion of that is just property tax. And who pays us for everybody else?
Everybody else.
In fact, there's a city in New Jersey right now. I heard about this while I was out. There's a group, a cult or something. And what
a
they're
cult?
Or a church. Call them a church. I don't know what they call themselves a church, but they're buying houses in this town in New Jersey right now. And they're declaring each one as they buy it a religious site, and they're holding religious services every house they buy, and they just keep buying them up. The problem is the town is about to go under financially.
Yeah.
Because their property tax base is shrinking, and they can't raise it on the remaining people enough to keep the town going, to have fire, to have police, to have. So what I'm saying is, yay, religion doesn't pay their fair share. And they give a little bit back. That's wonderful. And they're threatening, Eric here is threatening that we might even lose the little bit they give back if we don't let them pick on gay people.
Yep.
Well, Eric, fuck you. Seriously, fuck you.
Fuck
take
Eric.
Your ball and go home, okay? We'll take back all the tax benefits for your churches, and you can take back all you do. And we'll use that $70 billion. We'll use one-tenth of that $70 billion and take care of all the homeless in this country. No problem. No problem. And then we'll take the rest and we'll split it up amongst the property owners that have been paying your fucking way forever. All right? Please. Please don't tell me how much good they do for the home. You know, it's not the, and don't get me wrong, the people that are actually doing this, the ones that are involved, they're great. They're fucking outstanding. Okay? But don't pretend for a minute that this is a majority of what Christianity does. This is what the majority of Christians are doing, because they fucking aren't. They go to little churches once a week. They got their little tax-free property. The church banks most of the money. There's no way in hell they're putting all that back into charity.
But, you know, people who just go to church, just go to church.
Fine, let them go. I don't have a problem with that. You know, let them go. But don't pretend like they're helping the homeless so much. No, it's a dedicated group of people within Christianity that are doing a lot, and a whole shitload of people doing nothing.
Right.
Is what it is.
Right.
And we're subsidizing all this nothing so that these little groups of people. Hey, you know what? We've talked about it before on the show, and I've said that I totally support faith-based organizations that are actually doing charitable work being tax-free. Totally support that. I think if you did away with the religious tax exemption across the board and made them all 501c3s, just like every other charity, they just have to show that they're doing charitable work.
Right.
These homeless missions would still be tax exempt, every one of them, because they can show that they're doing charitable work. No problem. Good for you. But the
stupid churches would have to pay taxes.
Right. The stupid churches that don't do any charitable work or do very little.
They think just because they worship God, they're doing charity.
Would have to report their incomes, would have to show that a substantial portion of that income goes to charitable work. And they can't do it, and they know it.
Right.
They freaking know it. You've seen some of these churches. Even in small towns, some of the ones that we've actually been inside, it's like, wow. And there's no way they can be doing that much charitable work and affording that. People aren't giving that much. They can't afford to. So, anyways, so what they want is they want it all. Okay, they want to be able to pick on gay people. They want to be able to put all the tax-free money into politics. They want everything. And sorry, you can't have it. But that's our counter-apologetic for today.
Thank you.
So, Susie, what else we got besides ReasonCon's coming? Like,
that's
fast.
Like the fifth time you said that, even.
I'm really excited.
Apparently. What do we got? Nothing.
PastaCon.
Yeah, but you said not until October.
No, I said we aren't buying our tickets until after ReasonCon, but it's not coming until October. But I want to mention it to people because it's coming up in October. It's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yep. If you want to see us, that's definitely the one to come to.
Yeah, if you want to come early, stay at the house. What the hell?
I'm just hang out here. I got a big backyard. Bring a tent. We could just have a large
or just like a bedroll. You know, we could put you on the carpet. We got like empty rooms. We actually have empty rooms that like you could just throw down a bedroll. You'd be fine.
Yep.
So anyway, so PastaCon's coming up in October. Do be thinking about that, especially if you're in the area and you want to come out, hang, and maybe we'll do a barbecue like before. That'd be fun. And that doesn't help, honey. It's video.
She's closing the door so you don't hear the child.
Oh.
The child is here.
Okay. Why don't we wrap this up anyway?
That sounds like a good idea.
So, Susie.
Bill.
You do the normal end of...
Why don't...
You do it every fucking time.
All right.
You bitch at me when I don't do the intro the same way I do it every time. And then, like, you don't want to do the fucking end.
All right. So, if you want to get a hold of us, we have our Facebook page, Barroom Atheist. If you're a Twitterer, you can listen to Bill argue with believers and politicians and all kinds of people on his personal Twitter, which is at Shaper079. If you need show updates, you can go to at Barroom Atheist. I no longer have Twitter, so we're not even going to mention that ever again. For email, you can email bill.robbins819@gmail.com for Bill, or sbirry, that's S-B-I-R-R-Y, @yahoo.com for me. Don't email me, email him. And we have a voicemail line if you want to leave a voicemail.
Yeah, we have that.
The number is, Bill.
The number is...
Pause.
484-352-2004. And we got a couple of voicemails recently. We've been getting some good emails from people, and we really appreciate the feedback.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have a guest. I've gotten a couple emails about guests, so we might be having
a couple
guests.
People that want to come on, but you know, we have a call-in line.
Right.
So if you want to be a guest, fucking call in.
That's true. They could do that.
Yeah, I want to have the E.W. Jackson or Johnson guy that we had today that I did it.
We should have him on.
Yeah, because he's stupid. And I need to set him straight. That's my job.
You need to set him straight. So, yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, and Susie and I are talking about how to put more shows out with our schedule. It's starting to stabilize a little bit, so you never know.
Yeah.
You might see more. We're actually toying with the idea of going to Mondays.
Toying with it, though.
Toying with it. So if you have an opinion
on
whether or not...
I'm still stuck on Fridays.
We're doing Friday, Saturday right now, whichever is convenient for us. But if you have an opinion on Monday nights, why don't you give us a ring?
Right.
Or drop us an email or any of those fucking ways we just said.
Hit us up on
Facebook. Let us know what you think. And you might be able, if you might want to listen live.
And again,
Monday.
We're looking forward to seeing everybody at ReasonCon.
Yes, please come say hello, hang out with us, because otherwise we get lonely, we get sad,
it's sad.
In the corner, and we drink way too much.
I'm going to do that anyway.
Yeah, but it's pathetic when we drink way too much because we're sad.
That's true.
It's really bad. With that, I'm Bill.
And I'm Susie.
Stay reasonable, my friends.
You're pissing me off, man. Fuck.
I bang on the door, but you won't let me in. Cause you're sick and tired of me freaking up in. Lock all the doors from the front to the back. It's left me a note telling me I should pack. I walk in the bar and the fellas all cheer. They order me up, whiskey and beer. You ask me why I'm writing this song. Some call it pepper, but I call it home. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk for my beer down the sink. I got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk. You've given me options. You say I must choose between you and the liquor. Then I'll take the booze. Jump in, I'll bluster down to the south side. We'll sit down and exercise my Irish pride. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. For my beer down the sink, I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the